Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
No Pendergast, but there is a Harris, and there is a Payne, not Payne. Even though Wednesday was not good, there was definitely P-A-I-N that day. Yeah. That was rough. But there's P-A-Y-N-E, and that's the most important one because Seth Payne is with me, and I'm John Harris.
My mom's side of the family are the Harrises.
Oh, nice.
So that's I feel like I'm extending my visits with relatives by being with you today.
Well, very nice. So we were talking about what generation we are, and we are Generation X. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, man, does Generation X have an issue with remembering what you teased going into this segment? And then I remembered, oh, yeah, okay, I remember what you teased going into this segment. Did you get a chance to watch the Steelers and Chiefs? I know you were doing the pregame show, so I don't know if you had a chance to watch.
Only little smidgens of it. Yeah, I just said like I've watched, and I still have. I'm planning on doing that this afternoon to watch the whole game
because I was interested in watching. I watched bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But I thought JJ did a pretty good job as a game analyst.
Oh, good.
I thought he did a pretty good job. He and Nate Burleson. It took a little bit to kind of work together, and I know that from having done it with ND during the preseason. You know, kind of how do you work a three-man booth? I've never been a big fan of three-man booths, and I used to say it all the time. And then all of a sudden, in the summer, I get put in there. But
you guys did a great job. But you guys have all done it before.
Right, we know each other.
You already have a natural chemistry.
Right.
You've worked with ND before. It's like, that's where I'm always... I said this yesterday with Sean. I think producers think, oh, well, this is the first time JJ's done it. We'll make it easier by having an extra guy there.
Right.
It actually makes it way harder.
Yes.
because you don't know when you can talk, when you should lay back. It makes it a lot harder.
That's what I found it out with ND, and I mean, I was going to be deferential to ND, but we got to a point in the booth, especially by the third game, where we could kind of look at each other like, you take this, I'll take this. You know, you got this, I got this. And we got to a really good rhythm throughout. I wish we could have done more. I would like to hear JJ and Nate Burleson do more games. I thought that was a really good broadcast with Ian Eagle and JJ and with Nate Burleson. And I think, and Mark and I talked about this because we had JJ in studio for his Ring of Honor ceremony last year, and we were talking about it. And JJ was going in with CBS and doing the pregame show and all that. And I thought, he's going to want to be a game analyst at some point.
Yeah.
You have 3.5 hours to stretch your legs a little bit, to talk and get into some things that you're just not going to on a pregame show. Mm-hmm. In the pregame show, you've got 25
it's
seconds,
bullet
get
points.
Your soundbite, and out. Yeah. That's it.
A lot of those older coaches, you can tell, they just, a producer hands them some bullet points, and then that's all that you got to talk
it.
For 20 seconds at a time, and then there you go. Where, I think JJ really, I think JJ, because he's wired the way he is, he's kind of been attacking this media thing this year.
Yep.
And he's full bore into it. I think for him, the challenge of really learning the entirety of the game. And there's like kind of like, because I've probably learned more about coverages and certain aspects of the game since I've been retired than when I was an actual player.
Yep.
Because I knew what I needed to know as a defensive lineman.
That's
and
right.
I knew, you adjust, you based on coverages and everything, you adjust your style of play. But I think JJ will love that part of it.
Yeah, and he sounded really, really good, which got me thinking about Netflix. And if you have Netflix and you tried to watch the Jake Paul, is it Jake Paul? I think it's Jake Paul. Jake Paul,
yeah.
Mike Tyson fight. It was maddening. Absolutely just frustrating, streaming issues, the whole thing. Now, I did see a little bit up front about some of the, it doesn't work, it's not working for me, I can't find it. And some other people were griping and complaining about, well, I've got to have now a second screen for basketball over here and then Netflix over here, all that kind of stuff.
The hardest thing about streaming is not being able to flip channels. Yeah. But
that's exactly. But I thought overall, I thought the product was really, now, I thought Netflix product, what the Texans put out there the other day, was not so great. But I thought the game production, everything, I liked the score, but I just liked everything about what they did. And then the Beyonce show, I saw probably about 75% of it from down on field level. But then when I watched it back on Netflix, I'm like, well, that's pretty good. Now, apparently they paid a lot of money for that. A lot. I saw somebody on Twitter, X, whatever you call it, said $60 million she was paid to play that show, which I fell out of my chair. I'm like, that can't be. Not really?
I can't imagine that's the case, but maybe. Well, no, because the NFL, or because Netflix paid $75 million to broadcast the games. But I don't know, maybe.
I don't know. But it was a great show. It was a great
kind of. That's true. Netflix does throw money around like crazy.
Yes.
So anyway, but it was a Well, whether you like Beyonce or not, and whether you just hated the show or not, the production value of that of that performance,
it's really good
for a halftime.
Yeah. That wasn't the Super Bowl
in a regular season game, yep. Especially. I knew as soon as I got into the building. So I usually get there about 5 hours before the game. I go up to the press box. I steal some of your by the numbers to use on our show.
I appreciate that.
And I don't like it when you put it up late, by the way. So
I do my best.
But I got up in the press box and I'm looking. I'm like, oh, like hanging from the rafters. There's all this lighting. And I'm like, oh, like this is going to be a different type of production. I've never seen this before.
Yep.
Where you've got stage lighting rigged from the
all
top already
over
for
the
a
stadium. If you
show.
Weren't there, it was crazy. They had lights, different kinds of lights, all over the 600, 500, 600 level. They were on like the 300 or 400 level where they had put up individual lights. It was. I'd never seen anything like that. Never.
I was. If it had been a close football game, if at any point at the end of the first half I felt like the Texans had a chance of winning that game, I think I actually would have been frustrated by the long halftime. Because especially, let's say you're winning that game, it's kind of almost like it feels like the Super Bowl in New Orleans when the lights went out. It's
yes.
Shift momentum.
Yes.
It's like there's something about that where it just feels But because at that point I had checked out emotionally, I was like, oh, okay, let's just enjoy the splendor of this display.
Where'd you watch it from? Were you up in the press box?
I watched it. I didn't watch it, but I had it on in my I drove to the studio at halftime
because
I had to do some work.
Yeah.
So the cool thing was I think I left the building right at the end of the first half. And I got to Greenway Plaza. Well, they might have only been midway through the show at that point.
Oh, wow.
So like, there was no time crunch at all. I was able to. So I had it streaming on my phone just in case. I didn't want to miss any of the halftime show. And, you glance down and you see what's going on. Like, it was impressive. It was impressive.
Yeah, it was. I've never seen anything like that ever. And I'll admit, I don't go to concerts much at all. I don't know if concerts are supposed to look that way or not, but I've seen Super Bowl halftime shows, and I thought that one was right up there with all of them. I mean, all the different elements, you know, bringing in guests.
Yeah.
And I was floored. I mean, I'm watching it from field level. I walked back in, you know, back in the tunnel, and I almost got run over by the TSU band, which is awesome that she just invoked. The one thing I wish she would have done was she kept saying Texas, 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 which I get it. That's her song, Texas Hold'em. But she should have said Houston, like, at some point. Like, we don't care about the other, you know, like, that's Texas. This is Houston. Like, she never mentioned Houston. But anyway, I thought Netflix did a really strong job with both games, the production. They got good announced crews. I didn't get a chance to hear too much of Noah Eagle and Greg Olson, but I would imagine that was probably a pretty good crew.
That part of it I really liked, just because, and I've watched big chunks of the first half. I went back and watched some good chunks of the TV broadcast. I just like Greg Olson a lot.
Yeah,
I think
do too.
Their actual game day stuff felt just like a normal NFL production, I think, in a lot of ways. It didn't feel like, at least from what I've seen, it didn't look like they were trying a whole lot of gadgetry and everything. Like when Apple TV does baseball, especially when they first started doing it, it just felt like they were trying way too hard to do too many, like, so many new and innovative things. You're like, all right, come on. Like, at some point, can we just watch baseball? For me, the doses I've got of it, I felt like they were fine. And part of that's just because I really like Greg Olson. So I'm I'm excited. I was going to watch the All-22 of the Steelers game this afternoon, but I might just go back and watch the broadcast so I can hear JJ.
Yeah, JJ, I thought he was pretty good. So we'll see how he gets used more, hopefully, in the future in these games.
Was JJ, did it strike you as, is he a guy that's, where is he on the scale of, like, on one end you got John Madden, bing, bang, boom, and then on the other end you've got Mike Mayock, who's like a computer program up there, like getting super, super technical. Where is he on that spectrum?
I feel like JJ understood the mission, and that was you infotain.
Yeah.
Our friend Jim Ross, Sean's good friend from WWE fame, I'll never forget JR telling us at some point, he's like, you're in the infotainment business. Uh-huh. And I was like, what the hell do you mean by that, JR? And he said, you have to inform, but you have to entertain.
Yeah.
And so I think JJ did a pretty good job of kind of straddling that line of knowing, all right, I'm entertaining, but I've also got to inform. And so he would talk about a few technical issues or technical things, but then he would also, you know, make sure that he was joking with Nate Burleson about certain things as well. So yeah. The only thing early on, you know, there was a lot of talk about TJ, obviously. Uh-huh. But there was one time where Nate Burleson said something about TJ's game and whether JJ had that. JJ just played along with the joke and, you know, was really funny with it. So he's got that part of it, too. I mean, he's always had that.
Well, and that's where, you know, when it comes to the infotainment side of it, I think a lot of people our age that just, you know, watch Madden all the time and everything, the critiques of him while he was still a commentator, because, like, let's be honest, everybody, you know, like, everybody acts like, oh, yeah, everybody loved Madden. Like, no, there were people that didn't like that he kept things very simple. And I think some people didn't realize or understand that he was 10 times smarter than he ever let on during the broadcast, because he knew he was broadcasting to a mass audience.
Right.
And he tried to break it down as simply as possible. And because of that, it's one of those things that, yeah, look, if you want your hardcore analysis, there's websites you can go to for that. But when it comes to entertaining, like, tens of millions of people, you want to try to kind of simplify and make it entertaining. And really, he taught, like, a lot of people will say, like, hey, I kind of learned about that. I didn't know anything about football, but I loved watching John Madden because he explained the simple stuff to me.
Yeah, and he did.
I think I could see JJ knowing kind of how to find that sweet spot.
Yeah, fine. And it's a very fine line. There's no question about that. Now, I know it didn't look like it the other day, but the Texans are going to the playoffs. There's one team in particular it looks like the Texans will be playing. But could it be someone else? Could it be a different squad? Could it be the Baltimore Ravens? Oh, God, no. Well, we'll discuss that next.
NBD.